Hi guys, welcome back to Let's Get After It. I'm Sydney Pendergast, joined with co-host Elise Khalifa. Hi.
Hi Sydney, how's it going?
It's going good. It's warm.
It's so warm.
Love it. One more week.
We're talking about the allergens going crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But yeah, almost done with the semester.
I know. I'm leaving soon.
I know.
Big sad moment, but
big sad.
On to new things.
It's okay. We persevere.
Yeah. So today we are joined with Z. Lee Ringler, who is the winner of our Craftrepreneurship Contest hosted by LaunchNet and ASOS, which is Arts Entrepreneur Student Organization. Whoop, whoop.
Congratulations, Z.
Thank you.
So how are you today?
I'm doing okay. Ready to finish up final papers and get my finals done next week, but... Yeah. It's been a little bit of a stressful semester, but I'm getting there.
Yeah. Do you mind sharing what you're studying?
Yeah.
I'm actually an anthropology student.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, are you I'm focusing on archaeology.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh, that's really cool.
Are you like undergrad, master's?
So I'm actually I'm an undergrad.
Okay.
I'm a senior.
Okay.
However, I am not graduating until next spring.
Okay. Cool. You got a little more research to do.
Gotta dig up some more things.
It's more of a choice. It's not a necessity. It's a choice.
Yeah.
No, honestly, enjoy your time. Take your time with it.
Honestly, I need another year. I'm not ready. I'm not ready at
all.
Yeah,
I feel it.
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
Yeah, whatever. What are you gonna do?
Graduate, I guess.
Yeah. So, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, what are your goals, aspirations,
So, I guess aside from my art background, I've just been on the research side of things with anthropology, archaeology, just like even sociology and cultural research. I'm currently doing an internship at the Mayfair Visitor Center, where it is like I'm actually working there as a student employee, but I'm also doing an internship for credit with Dr. Kunkel, who's in the criminology and sociology program. And I am almost done. My paper is about 21 pages right now.
Oh, wow.
Because I turned it into like a massive like research project in addition to it being about what I do every day for work. But it has been like the highlight of my semester.
Oh, good.
You would think that, you know, a 21-page paper would be intense.
Yeah.
And it is intense, but for whatever reason, like, I'm actually starting to grieve that I'm about to be done with it. Like, it's just, it's ending. It's so sad.
Well, yeah. You do what you love.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, outside of that, like, I don't know. I mean, I am just going through the motions of being a senior and getting a lot of stuff done. I am... now with the president of the anthropology student organization.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I was secretary, but our president is graduating on Friday.
Okay.
Well, next Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll be president until I graduate next spring. And, I mean, I guess a shameless plug here. People can join ASO, Anthropology Student Organization, even if they're not an anthropology student. We have sociology students and, like, just anyone who's interested in humans and culture and stuff. And we have, like, events and do all sorts of fun things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a big, like, part of my life outside of my art and being a student. So,
yeah. Let's talk about your art a little bit because you won the Craftrepreneurship Contest with... It was a painting, correct, that you submitted? Or
so it wasn't actually a painting. So... I do a lot of mixed media, so I have done painting in the past, but I mostly do either traditional art with, like, ballpoint pen or pencil or graphite.
Oh, cool.
Or rather, charcoal. But I also do, like, digital designs, and I do, like, just graphic design type things. But then I also do photography and photo manipulation. So what you call the painting is actually... image stitching, so photo stitching.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So there are multiple photos that I took at different locations. Like, the main focus of the piece is a skull, and it's, you know, wrapped around, like, there's this tree roots wrapped mm-hmm. around and going through it. So that skull is actually a real human skull that I took a photo of.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was a mummy that was on display in an exhibit that I saw a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a photo of this mummy, and I decided I wanted to use it yeah. in something
yeah.
for art or even research later. So I combined that with a photo that I have taken of a tree. That particular tree is a white poplar tree, but I will get to that. Like, the whole thing has a lot of symbolism in it.
Yeah.
But the tree was also a photo, and I took, like, a photo of dirt and rocks and things like that. And then I combined those few photos with, like, digital drawing.
Oh, wow.
So it's all stitched together, blended together to look like one image. But I also, like, drew in details and
yeah.
things like that digitally. So, yeah, it's not actually a painting.
Yeah, it looks yeah. so seamless when you look at it. Like,
thank
in
you.
Person
thank
and
you.
The photo. I was like,
that's actually
oh
a major compliment.
Yeah, no, it looked really good. Do you mind talking about some of the, like, inspiration behind it and the symbolism?
Yeah, so this actually started off as a project for a class.
Oh.
So at the beginning of the semester, my professor in my Archaeology of Death class, which is a very interesting class, for the record, she posted the syllabus at the beginning of the semester, and before I even ended up in class, I was looking at the syllabus, and I was like, oh, we have an art project.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me work on that. So I started working on this art project before we even, like, really started class.
Yeah.
And the purpose of the art project was to focus on, well, I mean, basically, the class is Archaeology of Death.
Yeah.
So obviously the art project is going to focus on death in some way.
Right.
And like, the prompt, we were supposed to, like, make it something related to something we talk about in class. So we end up talking about memorialization, just, like, the methods of, like, burial practices in different cultures and, like, all sorts of things like that, like grieving. Like, what I mentioned earlier, that I'm now grieving this end of the term, end of the paper that I'm doing for my internship.
Yeah.
But we talk about, like, the different types of grieving. So it's a very interesting class because it really does focus on death and everything that surrounds it.
Yeah.
And so my art project was, I decided to kind of go in the direction of death memorialization.
Mm-hmm.
And my personal choice for when I die is I would like to be buried with a tree pod burial.
Okay.
So if you've never heard of that, instead of, like, being cremated or being embalmed and having all those chemicals put in your body and then being put in a box in the ground, like a lot of people do, especially in, like, the Western culture, it's not really something I want to do. I want to be, like, part of the earth again.
Yeah.
Because, like, we all are just, like, a cycle of life, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I want to, you know, be put in a tree pod. So they wrap you underneath a tree sapling and they put you in the ground. And as the tree grows, you become, like, part of the tree. You grow, like, well, I mean, you don't grow, but you, like, give nutrients to the tree and it becomes something new.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So your, like, nutrients is in the ground and you actually are, like, basically giving back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's kind of where that came from. The tree was wrapped around the skull. It went through part of the bone, which does happen, for the record. Tree roots can actually grow through bone.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
Those are strong.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense. But I chose a white poplar tree specifically because the story of Hades, you know, like, Hades, god of the underworld. So he has a few stories about, like, different mistresses that he had in addition to his wife Persephone.
Mm-hmm.
And he fell in love with one of his mistresses, and she was a nymph, but she was also mortal. And when she died, he was not okay. And he had decided he wanted to memorialize her by turning her body into a white poplar tree.
Oh, cool.
And the white poplar tree, like a few other trees and other symbols out there, represents like rebirth and just like growing past things and, you know, just it's like a peaceful afterlife kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. So it just kind of all mingled together. It just kind of worked out for me. So.
Cool. Dude, Hades and Zeus, what is up with these brothers and all their mistresses?
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, side note. why did you decide on that specific piece for the contest?
I think because it definitely, like, I was pretty proud of it. Like, I am pretty proud of it. Yeah. I think it really shows, like, the skills that I have when it comes to, like, editing, photo editing, and even just, like, the digital drawing. I think it shows, like, what I can do. There's a lot of, there's a combined skill. So, like, my photography skills, my digital drawing skills, and my photo editing skills are all shown in that piece.
Okay. Very cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. So, like, what kind of got you into doing more creative artwork?
Ooh. So, I was one of those kids who, when asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? My answer was an artist. And so I just started drawing when I was young, and I got a little bit better at it as I got older. But then I experimented with all different kinds of, like, mediums. I started working on pottery, like throwing pottery on a wheel. I did just, I tried painting for a while, but it's not really as much my thing. But I just experimented, and over time, it just became a good way to express myself. But, you know, I wanted to be an artist when I grew up. So I'm actually an older student. I'm actually turning 32 this year. So, yes, I'm a senior. Yes, I'm going to be older than a lot of the incoming students. But I'm an adult student learner. So I have already been to college once, and my first go was an art degree. So I went through, like, photography classes, like, actual classes, and traditional art classes, and graphic design classes, and decided, okay, I guess I am an artist now that I've grown up. And I even ended up landing a graphic design job where I was actually, it was my first ever salary position. And so I did that for a while, and I kind of fell out of it. Like, I stopped doing art for myself and was only focusing on the career aspect of it. And at that point, I was like, I don't think I want to be an artist anymore. So I left that, like, type of job. Like, I just, I didn't want to do it as a job anymore. So I eventually, I just kind of stopped altogether. And I didn't actually pick it back up until probably about 4 years ago, after probably 6 or 7 years of barely picking up a pencil or a camera. And I started actually drawing for me. And eventually I was like, oh, maybe I could still be an artist. And decided just to start doing freelance work. So I am mostly hired by people to do tattoo designs.
Oh, cool.
I mean, in the past, I've done, like, senior photos and graduation photos, like, engagement photo shoots, stuff like that. But it also, like, has, my experience has landed me a couple of gigs where I did, like, album covers or logo designs.
Oh, that's so fun.
But as of right now, it's mostly been tattoo designs.
So, wait, you have tattoos on your arm. Did you do those yourself?
I was just thinking that.
Okay, so this one here on, it's a sleeve that I started. So the one that has two cats and floral down my arm was done and put together by an artist that I have continuously been going to up in Elaria. And I have one on my calf that she also did. It is my Patronus.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what is your Patronus?
It's a house cat.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. So she did that one, too. But I did design, like, my first ever tattoo. It's an anagram. It says smile, but you can read it upside down or right side
up.
Oh,
cute.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was my first ever tattoo. I designed that one. I designed the paw prints that are on my shoulders. I designed, let's see. I have a heart on my ribs.
Okay.
But yeah, I have 9 tattoos.
Okay.
So yes, I do design some of my own, but I also have a fantastic artist who does some of my other work. So.
Cute. Yeah.
How did you specifically get into like designing tattoos as your freelance?
Because once I started drawing for myself,
mm-hmm.
I started realizing that I was capable of more than just one kind of style. And so I'm capable of more than one kind of style. I can do like tattoo designs in different styles because everyone has different preferences.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that no matter what style I do a tattoo in for somebody, you can still see like my own flair.
Good.
So I feel like I can kind of show off like my personal flair as like a signature when I'm designing tattoos for people.
So I
did a Harry Potter one last. I believe that was last one I did. And it was a pretty decent size. I think it went on somebody's back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Pretty big.
Yeah, and it was this huge phoenix and the golden snitch with it. And like you can really see like my flair, like my signature in that piece. It's very vibrant. It's very like, I don't know. I don't really know how to describe it. It was bold.
You. Yeah.
It was bold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun. Well, okay. So you definitely have had a wide range of like different skills and abilities, especially doing like freelance. So do you have like any advice for people who want to go into freelance?
Just do it. I mean, a big thing is networking. I will say that with anything that you want to go into, whether you are a student at Kent State or anywhere else, and you're just working towards a degree to get to a specific career, I always tell people to start networking early. Get to know all the professors in your department, even if you have not had a class with that professor. Get to know people in other departments. And the same goes for anything art-related. Like, I got in touch with you guys because of this craftypreneurship. Like, I didn't really know much about LaunchNet until I started talking to people about, like, the contest and, like, when I was at, like, the little event, the small business event that you guys had. Like, I didn't know much about it. But networking. You just, you get to know people and if you know people, they know people. And you can really, like, get involved in anything that you ever want to do by networking.
Cool.
Good advice, guys.
Listen up.
So you're kind of, I would say, almost, like, a little heavily involved with the library. You're interning at the May 4th Center, which is part of the university libraries. But I think you're also on the advisory board.
You did your research.
That's what we do. This is what we're paid for.
I am on the advisory board, yes.
Okay. Can you talk about those experiences and how those have been?
Okay. So as far as interning at the May 4 Museum, I told you a little bit about my internship. But other than that, working at the May 4 Visitor Center has been definitely a very interesting experience. You learn a lot more details about like the shooting that occurred on May 4th by working there, and you can kind of like give the correct information to people that maybe don't fully understand what happened or make assumptions. So it's good to be able to have that experience coming up onto Remembrance Day, because there's so many people that are talking about it and maybe they don't know the full story, or they may have been given the wrong information based on, you know, an article that was given the wrong information when they interviewed somebody. I don't know. There's so much out there about what happened, but not all of it is necessarily what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
And visiting the May 4th Visitor Center is a really good idea for anyone who is interested in going, because it is, like, there is so much information there, not just about the May 4th shooting in 1970, but also about, you know, activism and student activist groups, like, on and around campus, and, like, what was going on in the late 60s, early 70s, and something that I have actually been studying as part of my internship research is the generation gap. And so in the museum, we also talk about the differences between the students, the younger students, and their parents. And, like, how drastic of a difference it was after the baby boom with so many, well, like, so many different, like, beliefs and, like, social differences that happened. And we're actually starting to see that again, which is...
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, that's something that I talk about in my very long paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's, you know, that's one side, my internship. But
just
as far...
quickly, because you mentioned visiting the May 4th Center.
Yeah.
You guys are located in Taylor Hall.
Yeah, so we're located in Taylor Hall. I guess, so there's, like, I think there's three doors that you can walk in Taylor, right?
I know of two, at least.
I'm know
sure
there's at least
third.
Two. I walk in one of two of them all the time. If there's one door, you walk in, it's literally immediately on your left. Mm-hmm. There's a sign that says May 4 Visitor Center.
Right.
So the main part of the museum is, like, three galleries. And it just walks you through, like, the before, during, and after. But then there's always another exhibit that's across the hall from there that is, like, a temporary exhibit. Right now, it's talking about, like, comic strips that talked about May 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
It's a really interesting exhibit.
Yeah. And then your advisory board experience.
Yeah, so the advisory board. So the director of the libraries convinced me to join the advisory board. Mm-hmm. When I was first hired from the May 4 Visitor Center, I went to, I don't know what the event was called. It was, like, a beginning of the semester, all the student employees, you should come to this event, and we're going to talk about what you're doing. I think it was, like, an introduction thing, or what's the word for it?
Like an orientation?
Orientation, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was, like, a really big orientation, because it's literally, like,
everyone.
The Kent State Libraries is not just the library.
Yeah.
Like, May 4 Museum, May 4 Visitor Center is part of the library. The fashion is part of the
library.
LaunchNet's part of the library.
LaunchNet, yeah, exactly, exactly. But yeah, he and I were talking about the fact that I had actually originally applied for a luminaries position at the library.
Mm-hmm.
Made it into an interview, but ended up not getting it. But, you know, that's okay. I ended up getting the May 4 employment. So, yeah, that was awesome. But after talking to him for a while, he asked if I would be interested in joining the advisory board. And at first, I didn't really fully know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But once I joined, I realized it was pretty awesome. We worked together to try to, like, make student life better at the libraries. And we're even kind of branching out from, like, around the libraries, so not just making student life better as far as how the libraries are handling, like, what they do for students, but also how the university is. Mm-hmm. So, like, currently, a big topic that I'm a big part in is the problem with the expenses for textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, textbooks are super expensive. People spend anywhere from, like, $30 to $300, depending on their program, every semester.
Yeah.
So a grad student from the anthropology department, Ryan Strom, he had the idea to do, like, a textbook loan type of thing, like a lending program. And I don't know if it originally was something that he brought up at the advisory council, because I wasn't there when he initially brought it up, but I've been helping to get it going because he's in the anthropology department and I'm a part of ASO, the Anthropology Student Organization.
Yeah.
So we ended up starting the program. We're doing the Anthropology Student Organization Book Lending Program.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we haven't started, like, we're still, it's still in the works. We're still in the process of collecting used textbooks. So, like, if anyone has had any anthropology classes or is in any in this current semester, mm-hmm. we're looking for books that we can, like, add into the library so that future students won't have to buy those books.
Nice.
So we have, like, maybe 35 books so far, and they're mostly for, I want to say most of them are probably for, like, fall classes that we have, because not all classes are offered in the spring, not right. all classes are offered
yeah.
in the fall.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're still in the process of getting the books, but we're working on how to go about the process of lending out books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's still a work in progress, but that was started by Ryan, and it was one of the best ideas I've ever heard, because textbooks are seriously expensive.
Like, oh, yeah, it's outrageous.
It's scary how expensive they are.
Yeah, for what?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, ASO Book Lending Program is a big thing that I've been working on with some of the other officers. Our librarian, well, so technically she's a historian, mm-hmm. according to, like, the Engage website, but she's also our librarian. She has been working so hard on getting this going also. Her name is Gigi. Yeah, so she's an ASO officer as well. But, yeah, it's just been a big topic with the advisory council. Like, so the student advisory board works on problems that need solved. It originally, to my knowledge, started off as things that the library is doing, mm-hmm. but obviously the textbook situation is something that the library can help with, because, I mean, we have the reserves.
Yeah.
You can borrow books from the library that you need for classes, mm-hmm. but not everybody knows that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's not necessarily enough for everybody.
Right.
But personally, I don't know that for sure. For some of those, I don't know. I've not actually used the library reserves for my own textbooks. But I also wasn't even aware of them until, like, halfway through my time here at
Yeah.
State.
There's so much on campus. I feel like I'm still learning about new
things.
Oh,
I'm still,
like,
learning, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a senior.
Didn't know we had that.
I learn new things every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so it seems like you got a lot going on.
Oh,
you
yeah.
are involved in
yeah.
so much.
Very much so.
You got your big paper. At least you enjoy it, though.
Yeah, that's actually one of two big papers.
Oh, man. So how do you balance it all?
Very, very carefully. Very carefully.
Yeah.
So that's something I actually struggled with for a long time, is mm-hmm. balancing everything that I do with still making time for myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And taking on so much can have, like, a huge impact on your mental health.
Right.
If it's not, like, even if you do balance it well, it's still a whole lot. It's a lot of stress.
Right. Yeah.
Especially as a student at the end of the semester and as a student who's getting ready for graduation, like, that's a lot.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
So, like, you always, always want to take time for self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that is taking, like, an evening of binge watching,
mm-hmm.
like, binge watch something on Hulu or Netflix.
My favorite form of self-care.
Exactly. Exactly. I happen to very much enjoy horror movies.
Okay.
So the other night I was like, okay, I'm done being an adult for the day, and I'm just going to do whatever I want for the rest
yeah.
of the night. So
yeah.
I sat there, and I watched, like, 4 horror movies in a row.
I'd
nice.
Have nightmares.
I was like, how'd you feel afterwards?
So I really love horror movies.
Okay. So you were
they
fine.
They don't freak me out,
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
Like, okay, but clowns.
Oh.
I have a little bit of an issue with clowns.
Did you watch It?
I have watched It. I actually like the movie.
Yeah.
But
I like the comic relief in the movie.
Exactly.
I think it was
yeah,
more
yeah.
I think it was more so a comedy than a horror movie, because just
it's
like the
so
way
freaky.
It was freaky, but it was, like, funny. Like, the way that they would just, like, you just start making fun of it, and then you're like, oh, like, this is funny. Like, it's
that, yeah, I mean, yeah, but clowns are really freaky.
Oh yeah, clowns are so freaky. I just yeah. I can't get behind. I can't get behind a lot of horror movies, to be quite fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I'm, like, more of, like, a thriller. Like, I'll do, like, a thriller horror. But I mean, anything,
thrillers are good.
Anything, like, paranormal, that's where I have to check out. Oh, I have goodness. To leave. I can't
give
do that.
Me paranormal all day.
No, I can't.
All day.
No, because I'll go to bed, and I'll actually never go to bed.
Oh, man.
Like, eyes open. I'll be like, who's here?
Those movies frustrate me sometimes because, like, they so could have easily just left the house, and they would have been fine.
Dude, it's true. Every time.
They would have been totally okay.
I think that's why I get frustrated, too, watching those, because I'm like, just
You could have avoided all yeah. of this.
I was like, I'd literally move states. Like, I'd move yeah. across the country.
Do what you gotta do.
Yeah,
so. I mean, okay, so then there was, like, the second It.
Oh,
that yeah.
was... Yeah. That was... No.
I like the first one better.
The first mm-hmm. one's better. The second one, it was interesting. I found it to be a little bit... annoying because not only like what you were talking about, like they could have just left.
Yeah, they came back.
They came back.
Yeah, like why would you do that?
They left. They
but I'm such a Bill hater. Like,
why would you do that?
Like, yeah, I love him. So I'm like, I have to enjoy this because I love him. I like he's my favorite.
I also really enjoyed Richie's character.
Yeah,
like his commentary was just so out of pocket.
Yeah,
it was hilarious.
Where he was like, "You're giving me gazebos or something." Like, see, that's why I like loved that movie. Like that, like could be like my favorite horror movie because like the kids were so
they
funny.
Were funny. Yeah.
They were so funny. The second one was like mid, but I love Bill Hader, so it's like
you gotta support fine. A little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I gotta support. But yeah, that's like what frustrates me because like, why is there a chapter two?
Right.
Like, okay. Close the book on that one.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But yes, you're right. Self care is
important.
Essential.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
I wouldn't say horror movies would be my go to, but binge watching for sure.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
A good one if you want self care. But you're a very active person, is to go geocaching.
Oh, what is that?
Yeah, what does that entail?
So it's kind of like going on a treasure hunt.
Okay.
But it's like a legitimate thing, and people do it all over the world. So basically, you go to like geocaching.com, and you create an account, and you download an app. I use CGO.
Okay.
It's literally the letter C and then G-E-O. Geo, and you look up like where geocaches are in your area, and you click the nearby button or the map button, and you'll see like spots all over the map where there is a geocache, and you click on it, and you have like the coordinates. Back in the day, I would literally like map quest these coordinates and follow the printed out map.
Okay.
But then it turned to, like, the handheld GPS that people had that you guys are probably way too young to remember.
Oh, I remember.
I know those.
Oh, I remember. Those. Yeah. The Garmin's. Yeah.
But, yeah, now it's on your phone, and you can just click, like, the one that you want to find. Some of them are premium, so you have to pay, like, for the subscription in order to find some of these.
Mm.
But you find one that's not premium, you click on it. And it tells you where to go. You can, like, put it into your phone's, like, map, like, whether you have Google Maps or, like, whatever the Apple version is. And you just go to this location. And then when you get there, you're looking for, like, either a chest, like a box, or a pill container, or...
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, like someone's setting these up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you can hide your own geocache.
What is a geocache?
It's like literally, okay, so it's really a cache is what the people refer to them as.
Okay.
So C-A-C-H-E.
Yeah.
And it is, like, there's usually either, okay, so they can range in size. So you can find a micro, which can be, like, as tiny as one of those little pill containers that you put on your key ring.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even have, like, an extra large one, the one time I found one, it was literally a ginormous trash can.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, and so inside the cache, you will always find a logbook, whether that is just random pieces of paper or, like, an actual official printed logbook.
Yeah.
And you sign your username on it and the date that you found it once you actually find it.
Yeah.
And you can find little knickknacks in it. So it literally is, like, a treasure.
Yeah.
Oh, it can be, like, anything.
Yeah.
Oh, you looked it up.
Rubik's Cube. Yeah, I was like, wait, I need a visual of this.
Yeah, so you can find, like, little knickknacks or toys or whatever. There's, like, a restriction of things that you're allowed to put in there.
Yeah.
Things like that. But a lot of people will take something and then leave something. And so, like, I have a collection of little trinkets that, like, I have these plastic little miniature donuts that I've been, like, taking, like, oh, hey, there is a little army dude. I'm going to take that, and I will leave a donut.
Yeah.
And then once you sign the logbook and you do your thing with any knickknacks that are there, you will log it on the website or on the app saying that you found it, and then it keeps track of the geocaches that you have found, and it'll put, like, a little smiley face there showing that you found it. And there are also, like, trackable items.
Mm-hmm.
So you can set up a trackable item, or I think they're called bugs. Mm-hmm. I think there might be, like, two different types of trackables.
Okay.
But you, like, set it up, and you leave it in your first geocache, wherever you want to leave it. And the goal for some of them is to make it to certain locations in the world.
Yeah.
So, or, like, to all 50 states or something like that. So if you find a geocache and you find what is considered a trackable item, it'll be tagged or something to show that it is. You take it, and you take it with you, and you put it in the next geocache.
Oh, interesting.
Or you can take it with you and put it in a geocache, you know, closer to the destination it's trying to get.
Right, yeah. Huh.
If there is a specific destination that the owner wants it to get to.
Crazy. Aww,
that's kind of cute.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like to ask your favorite question?
Yeah, I'll ask it.
Favorite question.
This is the last, like, serious question, and then we go into the rapid fires.
All right.
Oh, boy.
So this one's, like, definitely an open-ended. It's, like, all in what you believe. So it's, how would you describe an entrepreneur?
Oh. That's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really have to be someone who, like, takes charge.
Yeah.
Not necessarily takes charge of others, but of yourself and, like, getting yourself out there in order to successfully do what you want to do with a business.
Yeah.
Or, like, to promote yourself or, you know, like, you have to take that first step.
Yeah.
In order to do that, you have to know how to take charge of something.
Yeah.
And so an entrepreneur would take charge of their life and be able to take that first step. And then, like, what I was saying with networking, with anything that you do, you have to be good at networking to get anywhere.
Yeah.
So once you start making yourself known, you know, you get out there. I don't know how else, like, an entrepreneur makes things or does things that mean something to them, and they, you know, pass it on to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And make a business out of it.
Right.
That's about all I got.
Yeah. I like the take charge. I don't think you've heard that before.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. You're so right about that, too. Like, you got to take advantage of your situation.
All right. So now we're going to dive into the rapid fire.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. They're just fun.
Fun, silly. What are you looking forward to this summer?
Working more hours.
Whoa, that's a crazy take.
I will actually. Okay, so last summer I had a fellowship that was out of state.
Okay.
So I was actually living in Indiana for, like, a good chunk of the summer.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, like, I was working full time during that fellowship. It was great. I had a great experience as far as, like, it looks good on my resume. I did really well.
Yeah.
But I wasn't at home, and I didn't really have, like, a summer where I could spend time with people I loved and be able to work, like, a usual at-home job. It was a very temporary situation. And I was also living on campus somewhere, which I'd never done before. I don't live on campus here. I own a house. Like, but this summer, I will be at home. I will be able to work not full time, but more hours than I currently am, because I won't have classes. I don't have a class over the summer. I don't have any obligations.
Yeah, love nice. That.
So good I feeling. Will just be working and spending time with my family, and I definitely look forward to more downtime. Yeah, for sure. That's
but more hours.
More hours is really good because I really need that. But yeah. I will still, even with that, be doing less over the summer than I am
right.
at the present moment.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So what is your favorite medium to work with when it comes to art?
Charcoal.
Oh, cool.
Ooh, that one's a little messy.
Yeah.
It is. But you can really, shape things easy. With
yeah.
It. It kind of flows. It moves with you. Because it's cool. smeary.
Yeah.
It's really messy, but you can make it, flow. You can actually turn, a piece using charcoal and make it look liquid.
Mm.
If you, are drawing with a pencil, it's not quite as easy to get it.
It's more rigid.
It's more rigid. It's not as easy to flow.
Yeah.
Nice. Library or Taylor Hall?
Ouch. well, that's really hard because I am a huge bibliophile. Books are my life.
Yeah.
I actually catalog my own books at home. but Taylor Hall, being at the May 4th Visitor Center is, a whole separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure they're comparable.
Okay.
Do I have to choose?
Both equally.
I would say both equally. They're not really comparable.
Okay.
Okay. So if you could trade places with any celebrity for a day, who would it be and why?
Oh, man.
I know, it's a tough one.
okay. So that's really hard. Because it would be fantastic to have this person's life and experiences and be able to travel. But I also don't know if I would want to be the center of all the media right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Taylor Swift.
I was thinking, it's definitely tough, but you'd be able to experience everything.
Right.
And she can,
but it's just for a day, anything. Too. So it's like.
That's true. It is for a day. But she has. So much.
Right.
It's not obviously all celebrities have those kind of opportunities.
But she's so
really got
she's
it
on
made.
A whole different scale.
She's a whole different level.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, final one. And we didn't talk about this business too much, but favorite type of tea?
Oh. Okay.
Gossip.
So, favorite type of tea that I make, or favorite type of tea in general?
Mm. Ooh. Let's do both.
Okay,
for anyone wondering, they're talking about Z's Teas, which is currently on hold while I'm in school.
Mm-hmm.
But yes,
fair.
It's a tea business. So I guess as far as my own blends, probably Summer Breeze.
Okay.
Mm.
It is a super, refreshing, light summertime tea, and it has freeze-dried strawberries in it.
Ooh.
And it's a green tea, and it's, super light and super refreshing. As far as other tea, in general, okay, so there is a tea that I currently am favoring, but I cannot remember the name of it, but it's also Ukrainian.
Okay.
So I got it at a store down in, the Columbus area,
mm-hmm.
and it is, imported from the Ukraine, and it's not caffeinated. It's some sort of herbal fruity tea.
Okay.
And it's super, also super refreshing, honestly, but with a little bit of honey, or even without honey, it's just sweet. Ooh, it's nice. I don't know. It's interesting. It's definitely different than what I'm used to.
Is it like a green tea, a black tea?
It's neat. Well, no, there's no caffeine, so it's not like there's no tea leaves in it. Yeah. So it's not green, not black. It's like it's more of like an herbal thing.
Okay. Okay.
But I clearly don't fully remember. Not everyone knows tea. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, that's all for our questions. Do you want to plug anything? Is there anything you have to plug?
Okay,
just yourself,
so
if you want.
I did have, like, a portfolio.
Okay.
That was online, but currently I'm not paying the subscription to keep the slideshows open, so you can't, like, go through my photos.
Yeah.
But it's zringler.card.co,
okay.
And card has two R's.
Okay.
So zringler.card.co, and there you can find my phone number if you want to text for, you know, any art that you're interested in, tattoo designs, logo designs, any of that. But there's also an option to click on a link to email me.
Okay.
And it'll take you right to your email so that you can email me directly.
Yeah.
Perfect. Nice. Thank you so much, Z.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, it was great learning about you.
Yeah. Well, also, congrats on winning.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyways, let's get after it.